Thank you, Astrid, and good morning. And you've all been a real blessing to me too. I can't believe I've only got a week left of my placement. It's gone so quickly. So this morning we're going to be looking at the passage from the Gospel of John. So if you've got a Bible with you, could you look up John 7, 25 to 52? There should be some Bibles in front of you under the chairs. And if you've got it on an app on your phone as well. So it's John 7, 25 to 52. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Still many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am only with you for a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and the greatest day of their festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." And still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guard replied. "You mean he's deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob knows nothing of the law. There is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, this scripture, and the amazing amount of stuff that we can learn from it. We pray this morning that you would bless it to our hearts, that we would hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, can any of you think of a situation maybe where you have been expected, other people's expectations of you have been quite different from what you were expecting? Some of you may have seen this clip I'm going to show of a man called Guy Gomer. He was an ordinary man, and he turned up to the BBC studios for an interview in the IT department, or so he thought. He had a bit of a surprise coming, so let's see what happened next.
For the industry and the growth of music online. Well, Guy Cuny is the editor of the technology website News Wireless. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Were you surprised by this verdict today?
I'm very surprised to see this verdict to come on me, because I was not expecting that. When I came, they told me something else, and I'm coming. You got an interview, so it's a big surprise anyway.
A big surprise.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. With regards to the cost that's involved, do you think now more people will be downloading online?
Actually, if you can go everywhere, you're going to see a lot of people downloading to the internet and the website, everything they want. But I think it's much better for the development and to improve people what they want and to get on the easy way and so fast the things they're looking for.
This does really seem to be the way the music industry is progressing now, that people want to go onto the website and download music.
Exactly. You can go everywhere on the cyber cafe and you can check. You can go easy. It's going to be very easy way for everyone to get something to the internet.
Guy Cuny, thanks very much indeed. I think we can now also speak to Rob Pitton, who's at
Well, the poor man, I mean, he really was very surprised to have been mistaken for an expert and interviewed on live television. It really wasn't what he was expecting. I think he did rather well, actually. I think he managed to answer some of the questions. I think I would have just run away. So how difficult that was for him coming to an interview with his own expectations and finding out that other people expected something very difficult, different from him. So when Jesus began his ministry, people had a lot of different expectations of him. In the passage we've just read, we hear people arguing about whether he was the Christ or a prophet or just merely a troublemaker from Galilee. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which in turn is translated from the Hebrew Messiah, which means anointed one. The Jewish people had waited a very long time for their Messiah, their anointed one. So in asking if Jesus was the Christ, they were asking a really important question. The reason this was such an important question for them was that they had a long history of oppression and persecution by the nations around them. And throughout their scriptures, there were references to this anointed one or a Messiah. He was God's servant and he was going to bring salvation. He was going to usher in God's kingdom and a time of peace and prosperity. We hear in the prophet Isaiah's writings, for example, he spoke of a time when lions would lie down in the street with lambs, and little children would play with deadly snakes. Now, you can't imagine that, can you? And God reigning over all the earth. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And it's no wonder these people of Israel were so hungry for their Messiah to come. They longed for a time when they could be free, not ruled over by other nations, and enjoy that peace and prosperity for themselves. They wanted a saviour, and they were hoping for a rescuer. All they could imagine was a great king, a bit like David. They wanted a conquering son of David to come and march into Jerusalem, defeat the Romans, kick them out, and finally set the people free. According to the prophecies, this rescuer or Messiah would come with signs that he was the one. He would heal, he would speak with authority about the scriptures, and he would bring the signs of the kingdom with him. He'd perform miracles. So this is what the people were expecting and hoping for and longing for. And what great expectations to have. Jesus didn't disappoint. he fulfilled so many of these expectations. As we know, he did speak with authority, he did heal, and he did perform miracles. He spoke of a wonderful new kingdom, a kingdom that was close by, a kingdom where people lived by different values, loving God, loving the neighbour, and keeping God's commandments. But was he really the one? That was their big question. Was he really the one that they were expecting? Many of them thought he was, and they followed him. They went to him with their little children, with their sick friends and their families, with their weary and broken lives. And they cheered when he rode into Jerusalem. But there were others to whom he didn't fit what they were expecting. The very religious people were suspicious, and they were probably jealous of his popularity. Some of them said he came from the wrong place. His family just wasn't right. Others didn't like the way he broke the rules. He ate and drank the wrong things. He didn't always wash his hands. He spent time with the wrong people. He even healed people on the Sabbath. Surely he could not be the one they were expecting. The religious leaders and the politicians of the time didn't like Jesus. He was dangerous. He spoke of this new and different kingdom. It didn't fit with their expectations. They expected their Messiah to be this warrior king, like David, sweeping away the oppressors, judging all the people and restoring their glorious kingdom. They were expecting their reward for faithfulness in keeping the rules and faithfully upholding God's laws. But they'd forgotten all the other prophecies, the ones they probably didn't like to think about, the ones that spoke of a suffering servant, a man who would be bruised and beaten and finally killed by the very people he'd come to save. How sad it was that they planned to kill him. Little did they realize that they themselves would be responsible for the death of God's chosen one, their Messiah. That they would be responsible for the death of the Son of God himself. Although the wonderful things Jesus did was important for his mission, the ultimate purpose he had in mind was to lay down his own life for us. This was the one thing nobody expected, and yet it was the most important thing that he did. Jesus always knew what his mission was. He wasn't very concerned about the expectations of everybody else. His purpose was very clear, and he didn't need the approval of those religious leaders. He came to offer something they could never give to the people. By laying down his own life for us, he was able to offer us that living water to everybody that accepted his offer. So let's hear those words again that he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus offers anyone at all who comes to him, living water. I expect people at the time asked this question, what does this mean? I believe many people nowadays are spiritually thirsty. The people who came to Jesus then were spiritually thirsty. They knew something was missing in their lives. They may not have known quite what it was, but when they met Jesus, they knew he had everything they needed. That living water that would quench their thirst. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you feel like something is missing? That your life somehow needs something deeper? Jesus promises all those who are thirsty, he will give them that river of living water flowing from within. Isn't that an amazing promise? If you're thirsty this morning, ask Jesus to come into your life and he will fill your life with that fresh living water. Those of you who are already Christians will understand what I'm talking about. What Jesus offers is his Holy Spirit to come and live in us and bring that life-giving water. I became a Christian when I was at university. I was a bit of a mess, if I'm honest. I made a few mistakes, and I felt like a failure. I knew there was something missing in my life. When I heard about Jesus, I just wanted to know more and more, and I really, really went and looking for the answers. And one day, I accepted him into my life, and it was like that missing piece just fell into place. I knew I was home, and my thirst was satisfied. When you accept Jesus into your life, you're filled with his Holy Spirit, and that is a wonderful thing. We've heard some testimonies, some lovely testimonies this morning about the things that Jesus does for us. So Jesus came with this astonishing mission of salvation, and it was so much bigger and so much better than what the people were expecting. But sadly, not everybody responded positively to his offer of new life. As we read earlier, there were generally three types of responses to Jesus. First of all, there were the religious leaders. Most of them felt threatened, distrustful, or cynical. Some of them even wanted him dead. Jesus didn't fit into their boxes. He didn't meet their expectations. Their hearts had become so hard and dried up, they couldn't even see how thirsty they actually were. While others around were singing Jesus' praises and telling him all the wonderful things he had done, they just planned to get rid of him. And they were scornful and put down anybody who defended him. As we read their response to those who brought good reports about Jesus, they said, "You mean he's deceived you also? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." See how disdainful they were of the people that followed Jesus. They couldn't believe that anything good could come from Galilee. So they dismissed it and attacked anyone who said otherwise. They'd never seen anything like this before, and they were closed to the idea that God could do something that didn't fit what they already knew. Then there were those like Nicodemus. He was just a little bit thirsty. And his response was, "Well, why don't we hear some more? I would at least like to hear what Jesus is about before I dismiss him and judge him." So Nicodemus had already been secretly to Jesus at night to ask him questions about his faith. He was a Pharisee, and he knew that the other Pharisees would not understand and would probably mock him as well and judge him for even speaking to Jesus. But there was something in him that wanted to know more. He saw how other people responded to Jesus. He knew something really special was going on, but he wasn't ready to take the plunge and become a follower just yet. Maybe this is where you're at, and that's okay. Keep asking questions about Jesus. It's okay to be curious. It's okay to find out more and to need a bit more time to find out before you make your mind up. Nicodemus did find his answers. If you read on to the end of John, you will find out he became a follower of Jesus, and he was one of those that took Jesus' body and looked after it after the crucifixion, at great risk to his own life and reputation. And then we have the third group. They had met Jesus, and they knew just how thirsty they were. They were ordinary people with ordinary problems, and they knew they didn't have it all sorted. But they knew whenever Jesus was around, stuff happened. People were blessed, people were healed, and those miracles kept on happening. There was just something about him. Although they didn't understand everything he said, they knew they wanted some of what Jesus was offering. He was offering them living water, and they were thirsty. I think most of them didn't have a religious education like the Pharisees. They probably didn't understand all the prophecies and scriptures that the Pharisees talked about. But they knew Jesus was special. He spoke in their language. He understood their lives. And when he spoke, they wanted to hear more. I believe Jesus is offering us that same living water today. in our own lives? And how will you respond to that offer? Are you a bit cynical like the Pharisees? Maybe you've only seen God work in certain ways, and the thought of something new feels a bit threatening, possibly even dangerous. He's asking you to trust him. He wants to bring new life in all its fullness. And although it's a scary thing stepping out and trusting him and asking for more of that living water, his Holy Spirit in your life is well worth it. He can be trusted. As I've followed him in my life and gone deeper in his spirit, he's asked me to do things that I would never have thought possible. But he's always provided everything I need, and it really is an exciting adventure. Maybe you're curious like Nicodemus. You've heard a little bit about Jesus, but you want to know a bit more. And I would encourage you to keep asking questions. Keep reading and keep talking to those people who know Jesus. He is amazing, and I pray that you will find out that he's worth following. Or maybe you've come this morning and you know that you're thirsty. You've been thinking about Jesus, you've been thinking about following him, and you're ready to take the plunge. Jesus died not just to save a few people in Jerusalem in the first century, but for all of us, for me, for you, and for everybody that's here. So let's hear those beautiful words of his one more time. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So if you would like to respond to this offer that Jesus makes to you now, you'll have the opportunity in a few moments of quiet to pray with me and ask Jesus to come into your life and receive the living water of his Holy Spirit. If everyone can close your eyes, we're going to sit quietly. And if anybody wants to pray with me, I would ask you just to raise your hand. If you would like someone to pray with you, come and move to the front row, and somebody will come and pray with you. So let's welcome our Lord Jesus into this moment, and let's pray together. Let's pray.